figure it out. So it's basically three words, but we are going to treat it as if it's one word, because that's how you say it.
We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery.
Don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something. You want something, go get it.
The effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is.
Oh my God, it's good to be back, sir.
It is fucking great to be back.
Where have you been?
Oh man, I've been not working.
That's not good enough.
No, no.
This fucking thing.
Oh, who has moved your mic?
Me. It's only
God
me.
God damn, it's only you that plays in that chair. Still can't get it right. It must be because you're bulking just with that big whey protein thing. That's what it is.
Must be.
Just getting more massive, filling out the chair more.
Just trying to.
How good. We've got a new camera system, ladies and gentlemen. We are YouTube shit out.
For those that aren't watching along, we are actually recording this episode, so it will be on YouTube.
Yeah, so you get to see what Trouble and Turmoil looks like visually.
How great we look.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Jesus.
Apologies to the people that are watching on the video. We're not going to be looking at you.
We'll be doing the normal face-to-face.
So
we're
just going to be seeing that live.
So, yeah, once we get it sorted, we might actually be able to get something where the camera can actually look at who's talking. But
we'll see.
Yeah, that's it. We're not Channel 9 or Channel 7. Yeah. We're just...
For the price, we're right.
We're just two rookies trying to make it right.
Yeah. So what's going on, man?
Fuck all. Obviously, I am now officially resigned from work.
Unemployed?
Unemployed, yeah.
That's so good.
First time in, first
well,
time.
Well, you're 100 years old.
I'm 100 years old, so basically it's like, it's over 70 years and I've been fucking employed. Yeah. Oh, dear God.
Since World War II.
Since World War II, basically,
first job, yeah.
I think, yeah. Basically, when they make it alcohol legal in the States, really, that's when I've... It's been so long, I haven't had a job, so good. It's been great, been different, made some
scary.
No,
don't lie.
No, look, the initial thing was, and I could understand how people would be scared if they didn't have anything behind them, and you're sort of like you're waiting. Lucky enough, I wasn't in that boat.
Too far from the mic.
Yeah. Oh, too far from the mic.
Yeah, that's fine.
There we go. Get up close and personal again. Because, I mean, look.
You're in a good position.
Yeah, look, and I did make the decision knowing that I had two lots of long service and I had a heap of annual leave. So I knew if I made a decision and it backfired, I would still have an extensive period of time before I would actually have to panic.
Yep.
So that worked out pretty good. So I made the decision. Christy and I had a bit of a talk and I sort of said, I'm gonna do it. Yep. I'm gonna do it. This is the way it's got to be. And she sort of said, are you sure? And I said, fuck, yes.
Yeah, nice.
And then, a couple of buttons got pushed. And then I really got like, nah, this is it.
Yeah,
done.
Sweet.
Done. So super, super exciting. And obviously when one door shuts, another door opens. Mm. And I've been so lucky that I've had a few doors actually swing open quite quickly.
Yep.
Which I wasn't expecting, you know. I expected that there'd be a lot of people out there looking for work, which there obviously is.
Yeah, there definitely is.
But I suppose it's right place, right time.
Yep.
So, super, super good. So, I've had one door swing right the way open and I've got one foot in. I had another door open up like a couple of days ago and I've stepped into that already with another interview and I'm waiting on another one to open up as well. So... I suppose the big thing for me is sort of saying to people, look, I mean, you can be quite adverse to taking risk.
Yeah.
And
but there's still so much out there. There's
so much when you actually start looking and you start looking outside your field of comfort. I mean, it's very easy to get comfortable.
Yeah, I think we've had this conversation, probably not on the podcast, but that fear, that first step, we're so institutionalized at our work. There's a lot of people that are done plus of 10 years, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it's just because it's easy and it's comfortable and it's all these things. It's right there. It's just so easy to stay in the churn.
You don't have to second guess.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing for anybody is to make a change because what's the most comfortable thing that you have?
Yeah.
I mean, your home is comfortable.
Yep.
You come home, everything you have in it is stuff that you've picked, that you love.
Yep.
You know, and so when you come home, and my God, I had a guy I was playing golf with, he sort of said, so what are you going to do? You're like going to go fly in, fly out? And I said to him, Jim, I said, I have bought everything in my house, things that I like.
Yeah.
And I said, I've got the shed with all the things I like it in my shed. Everything in my house I love. So when I come home, there's nothing there that I don't love.
Mm.
You know, so it's like, why would I want to go and stay somewhere where nothing is mine? The only thing I take is a backpack or a suitcase, yeah. a bag. I roll up there. Nothing is mine.
Yeah.
It's like, I said I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be interested. I wouldn't be interested. I'd find every way around it to make sure that I could stay doing what I'm doing now and just loving the things that I love.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's important, you know. And so
that's the thing. That's one of the other things as well. It's not making those decisions out of fear, right? Like, you could have applied for 100 jobs, but not being afraid, you didn't need to. You've chosen 3 jobs, one that you probably was the safer choice.
Yeah.
And you're suitably qualified for that. Then there's one that's a little bit different, but still same industry, yeah. qualified for that. And then there's one you're qualified for, but it's entirely new, right?
Yeah.
And so you're getting to try, and that's the one you're really excited
that's
about.
That's the one I'm really interested in. Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose the one thing for most people out there that will be listening, like, making a change is difficult, but where do you start with your change?
It's fucking necessary.
It is necessary.
It's so necessary.
It's necessary to fucking grow. And the only way you can grow is to make a change. You know, you don't see flowers growing healthy if you don't put fertilizer on them and do stuff like that. And if the fertilizer doesn't work, what do? You change to another fertilizer.
Yeah.
Or you do something else to make it
you
grow better.
You drink 1,000 beers and throw up in there and it gets all the good nutrients. Yeah.
Everything grows with spew. Everything.
See on your garden. Hey,
mate, like in some of the greatest pot plants I've ever seen have been outside pubs. It's just like, how the fuck has that thing got so much yellow and red in it? Like that thing just grows like a fucking bastard.
I remember one time, speaking of pot plants, right, not outside, inside a nightclub, I was very new to the security industry, and I was young, I was 19 or whatever when I first started bouncing, and it was getting close to end of the night, and we had some big dudes in the nightclub. And the manager come up and he pulled me aside and he said, that guy right there is having a piss in the pot plant. Go tell him to stop. I was like, all right, I'm going to go up and have a chat to him. And like, he's probably maybe 6 inches shorter than me. So he would have been a good 6 foot, right? He was probably about 40 kilos heavier. He was fucking solid.
Big boy.
Big dude. I walked up and I was like, hey, man. Do you mind not doing that? He's like, you're going to fucking stop me? I was like, well, I'm going to ask you, but like, this, he's like, well, unless you're going to fucking stop me, nah. You my mum or my dad? And I was like, oh, I fucking hope not. He's like, right. So, no. I walked up to the manager. I was like, my tribe, man, it's your turn. This dude's like, oh, I'm not doing it. Yeah, the dude was big.
That is the hardest thing when you first started.
When you first knew and you're not firm, and had that been 6 months later, I would have just knocked him out.
Yeah, that's it.
Just been like, stop it, and he would have been like, no, what are you gonna do?
Bang.
And I would have just flipped and just hooked him straight in the jaw.
Yeah, and that's the thing is like it's security is such a different thing.
Oh, definitely wasn't for me.
Oh, look,
not with my temper.
No, and look, it's one of the things you have to learn. That's like, everything.
Like now, I think now I'd be a phenomenal security guard.
Yeah.
I think I'd be really good.
Because you'd be to spend the time talking with somebody and you could make them see reason. And sometimes there are people that just don't see reason.
No, and that's cool. And sometimes you need to stop those people from breathing for a bit.
Yeah. And I say, look at it. And I say,
can't breathe, can't fight.
Shut the light. Yes.
That was always my rule.
Yeah, always. Yep.
And the good thing about having a long left arm.
Yeah.
I can still hold you here, slowly remove oxygen from your system.
Yeah.
And this one's right here if I needed to
introduce
help.
You to Big Mike.
good times.
It's the strangest thing is like, and it never ceases to amaze me still, whenever there's alcohol grows testosterone, which grows dick length.
Right?
Just I've got a bigger cock than you. Yeah.
And it's just like, 1,000 people here I'll never see again. I need to be the strongest person in the room.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Calm down, mate.
Yeah, calm your farm. No, it is very, very strange that environment. And it was one of the things being my size.
Yeah, right. It was layer of danger.
Oh, it was so, so difficult. You had to be so switched on and your mouth had to really work fast.
Yeah, right.
I had so many guys that could just pick me up by the ear and just they could throw me.
Yeah.
All over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just terrible.
Yeah.
I remember one time we had some guys come down from Perth, and this guy was probably the biggest individual I had ever seen.
Yeah, right.
I had ever seen. I was standing on a box, and I think the box was probably about 3 feet tall. Yeah, he came up and he was standing and he was looking. His eyes were at the same level as mine. He had arms that were as big as my body.
Yeah.
And he comes up, he's introducing himself and goes, "G'day, mate. My name's Bull. Fucking, I'm just going to have a few drinks with the guys." And it's like,
"Cool, man. No do worries, what the fuck you want.
Yeah, do what you want. Yeah, yeah.
I'll pay.
Yeah, say." Because if he was one of those guys that was going to lose his shit, everyone would have died.
Yeah, Bull in a China shop. Literally the people of China.
Yep. And so he would have been that guy that you see in the movies that just goes, dunk, on top of the head, and you just go, in the floor, 2 feet, that's it. Yeah. Just be in there.
I was lucky. The security company I work for, there was probably maybe two people smaller than me. Everyone else was bigger. I was the small guy.
Oh, nice.
And I was the white guy. I used to work with Islanders, Samoans, Kiwis, Pacific, like these massive dudes, right? So everyone used to pick on me because I was the little white guy. The
little fella,
yeah. Oh, man.
The thing is when the other guys come running.
Oh, look, they are the best company to work for.
Mm.
Two rules, never back down and never stop. And that was it. It was like never ever back down and don't stop until one of them stops you.
Yep. And the thing is, you look back as a mature adult now and you think, what the fuck?
Man, can you imagine if you went to a job induction now and they said, look, man, we got two rules. One, if someone wants to fight you, you never ever back down, no matter how many of them there are. And two, you just keep going until we stop you.
Yep. And you sort of say, it's been a pleasure meeting you. Oh. I'll catch you later, bro.
Well, back then, I was like, fuck yeah, man. That's my MO. That's what I'm about.
What do you need? Yeah, for $20 an hour. Holy shit, man. Sign me up.
It was like $15.
Oh, so good.
Oh, so bad.
Oh, man. That is so fucking cheap.
Yeah.
To put your fucking life on the line. Yeah.
You know, those days, like especially Amanda, those days, man, there was that guy that got run over at Jess's work, bouncer, got run over, killed.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Fucking, it happened.
People, that's a strange thing now, is that people hold grudges.
Yeah.
And you see, this person was run over or this person was beaten to death, and you just think, oh wow. You know, you can draw all sorts of conclusions. But revenge is just one of those things. People hold that.
Such a streak. I hold so many grudges.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's nice to be able to cleanse the plate. Certain things you want to hang on to. Like, you know, certain things.
Oh, I got so much stupid shit.
Does he? I'll hang on to that until I fucking take it to the grave.
You never know, right?
You don't know. Look, but it's really nice to be able to let stuff go, but not at the risk of fucking, you know, your own morals. You know, and that's the thing is, like, you know, your moral standing must allow you to be able to do it if it doesn't break your own moral code.
Mine's just the ego.
It's just ego. Yeah.
100%.
Oh, look, and there's nothing wrong with that. Certain times where pride has to take its place and go, no, my pride will not allow me to let this go.
Yeah.
No, it ain't happening.
Yeah, yeah.
And other times pride has to take its place and go, I've got to actually let this go.
Yeah.
I can't hold this anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sort of at my age, I've obviously got very good at it now. Certain things I can let go. There's other things, nah. If you do the wrong thing by me, you're doing the wrong thing by me, doing the wrong thing by my family, doing the wrong thing by my friends. So it's like, no, because if you do it to me, you're doing it to all the people that care about me. So nah, you're dead to me.
Yeah, yeah.
So that those things I can hang on to.
Yeah, fair enough.
And you know, another
it's funny, isn't it?
It is
holding a grudge.
Yeah, but it's a nice concept, isn't it?
It's great. The person that you think about probably doesn't even remember you.
No, they don't even care.
Right?
Half of them, they don't even care. No.
What's that saying? If you have a grudge, it's just someone living in your head. Rent free or whatever, something like that.
They're renting a space where they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But as people, when somebody wrongs you, like obviously when you had your really short fuse, the first thing is like somebody wrongs you.
I want to
fix you up.
Yeah, man.
I want to.
Yeah.
You know, And as you get older, you sort of think, oh, I just can't be bothered with that.
Oh, man.
But it still burns a little while.
Yeah.
Until you find a way to, buddy, go.
Yeah, yeah.
Squish that little flame.
I remember, one of the last street fights I was in, whatever. I was with my mate. We went out for dinner or something, big group of us, and then a couple of us kicked on. Went to the pub where I used to work, right? So I'm in the familiar environment, but we're all old now, right? Like, we don't know anyone anymore. All the kids are like our age when we first started going there. And he ended up getting into something with someone. So I was outside, you know, that's how it goes. Take it outside, do the right thing by the pub, blah, blah, blah. And they're in a circle, right? They're in a circle fucking going at it. And you could just see our age difference. Like, these kids are like 20, still fit, still moving, dodging. And, and my mate at the time, fucking, he's just getting tired. And then somehow I'm in a position where there's two of them trying to fight me. And it's real tactical on my behalf, not overcommitting to one. And it just got to the point where I was just at one point, I was like, this is fucking stupid, you dummies. Like, oh, then we fight one-on-one. And that's cool. I'll fight you after each other. I mean, but no, I'm wins here.
Nah.
And these kids just don't understand, right? They just weren't listening at all.
Nah.
But and I suppose that's the good part about getting old.
It's that's the thing is, the testosterone doesn't override the ego. Like, when you're younger, your testosterone always overrides your ego. It's like,
it just takes over.
It does. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? You know, like, you have some inbuilt primal instincts that are centuries deep that you just can't get rid of. I mean, animals that are bred in captivity, they still have those primal urges, and they're never allowed to be taken away. They can be made docile, but they can never be taken away. There's always that one time where that animal that's in captivity all of a sudden loses its shit.
Yeah, eats the keeper.
And somebody ends up being its food.
Yeah.
You know, it's even those guys. Look, I mean, so you watch it on YouTube, those guys in sort of, in generally a lot of Asian countries, where they do the crocodile taming thing. And, you know,
fucking head, they put the
head in there. Yeah, that's it. And all of a sudden,
I fucking love when they clear and just roll, and the body's like,
what the fuck? I mean,
you cannot fight a dinosaur.
No, those things are as fucking older than fucking, they're older than Jesus. It's like, fuck.
Jesus wouldn't fight a dinosaur.
No. He just go, part the dinosaur. Man, but that's the thing is, you watch that sort of stuff. I mean, look, I mean, I mentioned on here before, the scariest moment that I've ever had was, I actually had a cheetah lying across my back, and this guy had this cheetah since it was a cub, and I actually got to go in between two pontoons and stand up underneath it and
squat
the cheetah up, so the cheetah was over my shoulders. And it was purring, and my whole body was shaking with how loud it was purring. And at that stage, it was like,
this could kill me.
This thing, I mean, its paws was as big as my
hands. Yeah, yeah. And you think about when a cat scratches you, right? Like, it will cut you. And its paws is big.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So it was, as I say, at that stage, and as I say, just squatting back down again.
Yeah.
And then just moving out, and the cheetah was sitting there. Nice kitty, don't look at me as food. Because I've seen recently, sort of, I've had a bit of a fetish with sort of like animal attacks on YouTube.
Nice.
They've just been, like, I looked at one and went, Jesus, fuck. And now, of course, YouTube's just nailing it with them. Like, people that have pet bears, and the pet bear just goes, fuck. There was this one on a TV show, of all things. Like, this woman has won something out of the crowd. So she gets to come up on stage, and the bear is sitting in a freaking chair, right? The bear's just sitting there. The trainer's there with it. And as the woman comes in, and she gets to come in from the side, and she sits next to the bear.
Oh, yeah.
And then the bear all of a sudden realizes she's there and just goes, pounce. And this is a big bear. But this is like hundreds of kilos of bear has started attacking. Of course, they're trying to pull it off, and it's just like,
what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
sit. Like,
yeah, that's it. Yeah, two 70 kilo trainers are trying to pull off like a 300 kilo bear off this
trunk
woman.
Of a muscle. Yeah.
It's like, oh my god, you know, like, and this thing is like probably hand raised its whole life, and that one primal instinct is, I'm gonna end you, bitch.
Just looked at it like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, you like
Today's the day. Tasty.
I mean, and there's the other one where that elephant escaped from that zoo, and it's come out, and it's like, it's grabbed hold of some people, and it's thrown them, it's stumbled some stuff. And as it's been getting out of the car park, there's this fucking fence, and it's like that shitty chicken wire fencing. And this guy's gone up to it, and he's put his hands up against the holder, and this thing's just gone bang, and you watch him go, boom, and he's fucking gone. It's like, holy shit.
What do you expect?
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know how much an elephant weighs, but say it weighs fucking like 8 ton.
Yeah.
Like whatever they fucking weigh.
What are you
going to
do, stop a bus?
Yeah. He's holding it. He's holding the fence. It's just like, wow, man. That is impressive.
People are so dumb when they don't think shit through.
They don't. But yet, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's that one guy or woman who lifts a car off a baby, and you hear all those stories. It's like, wow. But that elephant just goes, fuck you, Jack. Bang. And fucking gone.
This is not one of those moments.
No, this is not one of those moments where that instinct of whatever you can draw your energy from, your chi, your ki, whatever. Yeah. That shit ain't going to help you here. That
not
you just,
today.
Not today, Batman. Not fucking today. But wow. The stuff. YouTube.
That's so good.
YouTube is my current jam being
it's pretty popular.
Oh, look, the stuff on there excites me when you start looking into certain things that you're interested in and you watch it just unfold.
The algorithm is great.
Oh, yeah. Look, whoever the 15-year-old kid was that actually introduced that and says, oh, we can make this stuff happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Just goes, dun, 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 dun.
Crazy, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
But that's good.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
So what else has been happening in your world since we haven't had a chance to really sit down and spitball for a while?
What have we been doing? Well, I messaged you the other day about the words and the description, I suppose. So I did that with a bunch of people.
Did you think the words that I sent back represented you? How did you feel?
It's, well, and someone else asked me that question. And there's a part of me, the ego part of me is like, yes, sick. Like these people recognize that I'm capable of doing stuff or this or that and see me this way. And then the other part of me is like, well, it's kind of also their opinion. And it, like, as I sent it, like after I sent it, I suppose, I was like, fuck, I'm a douchebag. Like, it's their opinion. I shouldn't know it. Like, there's a part of you, like, you don't live for other people's words.
Shit, no.
But the activity is, it is trying to understand stuff that I see as a part of me that you see as extraordinary. Like, it's like not being aware of like what's usual for me is magic to you.
Yeah.
And it's sort of realizing not to feed your ego, but to identify what you inherently do without trying.
And
it's almost like identifying your passion. It's what do I do? Or what am I doing that you see me come alive at, is that question that, okay, what do I do effortlessly? And what do I get really excited about? And then just put all your energy towards that. So that was the whole idea.
Did you get anything back that you went, oh?
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, no, I got one back and I was like, ooh.
Oh, shit.
That's different.
Back crack and sack wax is not my favorite thing anymore.
One word I got back was wrathful.
Wrathful?
Yeah, like wrath, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Which is
you
true.
Are, why are you so fucking mean, you piece of
know.
Shit?
I don't know, man. It's just who I am.
Was that from Jess?
It was, yeah. Nah.
Oh, Jesus.
From someone that's known me a long time and for a lot of years and in my older times. So,
yeah, okay.
I mean, it's still stuck there, I suppose. I still have it.
Everyone has it if the right buttons are pushed.
Yeah, so I think that like that person's seen me through some fucking really dark times, really, really wild times. And that's cool.
Right? So, but like, you think that's it. Maybe just a perception? I believe. No. I mean, look, it exists.
It definitely exists in me still.
But I mean, that's the same thing as, like, you know, the you of old is not the you of now.
No.
And the you of the future.
But it made me.
It has made you. I mean, what your past defines you, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, you always refine all the time.
Oh, yeah. I don't exhibit it anymore.
No, definitely not. I've never seen you get wild too often. Other than when I beat you at FIFA, you piece of shit.
When was the last time you beat me at FIFA ever?
I fucking beat you once.
Oh, my God.
And he lost his fucking shit.
Oh, well, you cheated.
Nah, fucking scored. Chuchi scores! Yes.
So I got some interesting ones back.
Yeah, cool. It is nice. Look, so that's the one thing that we don't do very often in life is sort of ask for feedback with the fear of getting stuff back that we don't like.
I'm not afraid of getting stuff I don't want to hear back.
No,
I think it's healthy. It gives me points to work on.
Oh, look, you look in the mirror and you see what you see.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily what the world sees.
Yeah, and that was the other part of when Gareth actually asked me and he said, what are you, like, what words would you use? I said, well, my words would be different to yours because I live with myself hour to hour, whereas you live with me week to week or month to month.
You catch up, yeah.
Yeah, so.
How is he going, Super Salesman?
It's good. He's killing it lately.
Yeah? Good work. It's a good environment for selling now. Prices are down.
He's having a good run at the moment.
Good work.
So he popped down the other night for dinner and we had a good chat and, yeah, it's good.
Oh, sweet. How's his golf going? Crushing it.
I think he's still playing pretty well.
Yeah,
7.
Nice. Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Fucking super nice.
Yeah. So he's talking about popping down for a game. Maybe we'll play at Capel.
Yeah, sweet, man. Absolutely.
We'll
suck him in there.
Yeah, no, he's doing good. He's doing good. It was nice. It was nice that they come down. It got me out of my funk a bit. Could go have a chat with the boys and sit around and eat steak. And then we went out of fucking whiskey. And
oh, nice.
It was good. It was nice.
It is super nice to catch up with friends. And just, you don't realise how much you need that until you've done it.
Yeah, I was very apprehensive. I put it off the week before. I was pretty depressed. I said, don't drive down just for me. You know, it's not worth it just coming to see me. I'm not in a great mood anyway, so just forget about it. And I felt a bit better the next week. And they said, what are you doing Saturday? I said, fuck it, do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so it was good. It was nice.
It is surprising. Look, as I, today's Friday that we're recording this. So yesterday, I had an interview yesterday and I thought I crushed it.
Yep.
Absolutely crushed it.
Sweet.
And then the good thing was a friend of mine from work, Emma, you remember Emma?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Emma sent me a text and sort of said, hey, Crab, you got time to catch up for a coffee? And I said, oh, fuck yes, please.
Yeah, well,
let's
nice.
Catch up. I can't wait.
Yep.
So I had such a fucking great afternoon. Look, I mean, so the interview was in the late morning. So I did that, felt great, killed it. They looked really happy with everything that I said. I felt really happy going out there. Brilliant. Caught up with Emma, had a great chat. And it finished my day with sort of like, I was just on a high for a long time.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize how much I missed actually having a chat with her until I'd done it when, this is so nice, rather than just a passing high five and a 30-second conversation. How are you going? How's the kids? Blah, blah, blah.
It's out of that environment as well.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was just a nice, healthy environment. Yeah. We could just bloody shoot the breeze and just talk a bit of stuff, find out about what life, the universe and everything is bloody passing in her way. And it was so nice. And so that's the one thing that I've realized, that regardless of how bad I feel, when I see people that I like, it just gives me those fucking endorphins that just pump me up.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, I feel fucking so excited being here and we're chatting and it's fun because we haven't done it for fucking ages.
Yeah.
It is like a fucking shot.
Yeah, it's
it
so
is,
good.
It is so good, you know. And that's the thing is, like, I loved it. Two weeks before that, mate of mine, Steve, that lives down in Albany, probably one of the best masseurs in the state. Just putting that out there.
I don't know. You give a pretty good hand job.
Yeah, I did, well, I've been practicing. I've had fucking years of it, man. Fucking.
Sorry. We're not diminishing the professions.
No, that's it. No, definitely not. No, but baby oil is still my favourite thing. But I shot down to Karamup. He was up for the weekend. Caught up with him and we were down there for sort of like an hour and a half and it was brilliant. An hour and a half catching up. I hadn't seen him for a couple of months and it was phenomenal and it just just gave me that one cog kick to the right that I really wanted,
yep.
and just started off the next day with a zing. Yeah, you know, I felt great. Just that little bit of a different connection with somebody else. Because, you know, you get to connect with the same people quite often. And, you know, and that, so that keeps those cogs just rolling the same way. But all of a sudden you catch up with somebody different. And it is literally like you flip a gear.
Yeah.
You flip it like a couple of spots and go, it just feels different.
Yeah.
Gives you that buzz. And you would have felt that having Gareth come down. It just...
Yeah. Yeah. Gareth, my mate Mark and my other mate Azza all come down. I haven't seen Azza for a while. So, yeah, it was really good. Just sitting around, fucking bit of steak and then leave because the steak was shit. I'm not going to lie. The steak was fucking horrible.
Where'd you go?
Lone Star.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, the reports have been so bad from that place. Which is, it's a steakhouse. How hard is it to cook fucking good stuff?
Hard, apparently. Mm. Really fucking hard. I walked across the bills, got a whiskey on the rocks. It's fucking great. Just sitting around talking shit. It was great, yeah.
It is a nice way to finish off an evening, just shooting.
Oh, and then I just my allergies kicked in and I was all puffy-eyed. And
yep. Oh, yeah. Whiskey does.
I'm still drinking them.
Yeah, still knocking them back.
So yeah, it was nice. It was good.
Fucking super good. What do you think about all the conspiracy theories around the election in America with fucking them dodging up the bloody?
Honestly,
things?
I haven't listened to any of.
I've tried not to. I've heard lots recently, just as I've been listening on the radio because I don't watch a lot of TV. There's been a lot of stuff saying Trump. Oh, the bloody. This has happened and there definitely has been dodgy with the counting and all this sort of stuff. It's like, oh, wow. Fucking, he's not going to go out nicely. He's going to have that fucking anchor.
A child.
Yep. I've lost.
Yeah, when you take his toy off. Oh, yeah. Fuck me. Honestly, I haven't done as little paying attention to it as possible.
As possible, yeah. And I think you've probably done the right thing. I've done exactly the same. It's just whatever pops up on the radio, I go, oh, geez, that's quite amazing. Yeah. Listen to him talk. The one thing I did hear is that Trump wants to sack the head of the CIA before he goes. And it's just like, what dear little secret you don't want her to tell?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, ooh. That sounds sus, yeah. The head of one of your security departments, why would you want to get rid of them? It's like, what do they know?
Yeah, yeah.
What do they see you doing with that goat?
Oh, the goat.
One goat.
Man. Yeah, no, I haven't. I've done my best to try and stay out of it.
To null out of it.
It's just so negative, man.
Oh, everything to do with elections is negative. And
everything to do with everything on the fucking news is negative.
Yeah, it is, which is so sad. But unfortunately, no news is good news, they say. But thing is, all news is bad news, which is generally sellable news.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's just the business. That's just the world we live in.
Yeah, people want to see bad shit more than good shit.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing exciting about seeing a fireman getting out of a tree these days.
Oh, I don't know. I like cats. Is he? Now that you've changed, like a big change, 21 years out of one place.
Yeah, massive change.
And you reckon you weren't scared? What sort of conversations are you having with yourself about change?
Yeah.
Are you nervous to learn new stuff again?
I think that if I'd be lying if I said no, because as I mean, everyone's designed for comfort.
Yeah.
And the first initial thing was when I said I'm going to resign, the first thing that kicks in is, at my age, how employable am I?
Yeah.
And the first thing I say to myself is like, fuck you, I'm employable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're great for your age, right? But on paper.
That's the thing is, on paper,
you're 50.
You get introduced to paper. And I say most people you see at 50 are generally overweight, generally not in a healthy, not buff like you.
Am I 50?
but most people at 50, look, I mean, that's so, I mean, I'll tell you, I went in to do a fitness test for one of the jobs I've applied for.
Yep.
And there were some guys in there, and I'm looking going, Jesus, fuck.
Yeah, if they pass, you'll be right.
Yeah, that's it, fuck. How the fuck can they pass?
Like you're a paramedic in case they pass out.
They pass out, you know, and that's the thing is I was talking with the physio in there, and he sort of said, it's actually nice to have somebody come in here who's not going to struggle with the testing. He said, because it's not difficult what we do. Like it's quite easy. But for a lot of these guys, like they just don't look after themselves. So I can see why that, you know, if you're applying for a job and they go, right, he's 50. Shit, should we even bother? You know, yeah. are we gonna have a health case here waiting to happen? You know, and then when they get you in, they can go, right, okay, we're on the right foot here. This guy is actually going to come to work. Yeah, he's going to be to work for us. That's sort of fine. But obviously, that's the biggest thing, you know, because obviously when your age starts with a 5, you know, whereas previously, you know, people would sort of say, yeah, you know, 30 to 40 is still in a pretty good hiring range. When you see 50, people see a lot of problems. They see a lot of medical problems. They see sort of like longevity.
That's where it starts.
That's where it starts. And it's a perception as well. So obviously, that was the biggest thing for me going sort of like, will I be employable in somebody else's eyes? The beautiful thing is that I had some stuff happen straight away and went, shit. That's really good.
I've still got it.
I'm still employable. And look, my resume is not extensive as some people's look. I mean, some people's resumes, you look at them and go, my God, how have you had a chance to live? Your resume is so full of stuff. My resume is quite simple. I've built up a lot of skill sets while I've been at the work that I've been in, and I built up a few skill sets before I started, but not anything that I'd go, man, that is a really comprehensive resume where people would sort of say, fuck, man, you have done some stuff. I've just got a bit on there from what I've done, and it's compounded over time. So obviously that was the big fear. But once I got the first door opened and I went in for the first interview and went, no, that was pretty easy. Nothing felt bad. Yeah. I went, yeah, cool. If the interview process feels good, they look at you, you like them, they like you, you're already sort of got the ball rolling. So that was the first thing, getting that first interview out the way and saying, you know, I've resigned. And I'm actually a free agent now, I'm going to be looking for work. For the first time ever for me that I actually haven't had a job to go to. But then all of a sudden, like, you know, I had offers come in, go, you know, if you need something, you know, my dad's got something, just give him a call and he's got some stuff you can come and do something.
Yep.
Oh, sweet. You know, so shout out to Amy Capagreco. Her dad, Joe, works for Dwyer's. And he sort of said, if you want anything, man, we've got some work. We're more than happy for you to come in and do some stuff with it. That is fucking magic, you know. And, that, and that's only from being nice to be in relationship buildings, you know. So I got a bit of a kickstart there if I wanted something, plus of other ones. So, yeah, it was initially not scary, but it was challenging me to search what my own worth would be worth for somebody else. Because I know what I believe that I'm worth and what I can offer. But it doesn't matter what I think because I'm not the one writing the check.
Yeah.
Somebody else writes the check. And when they write the check, what they want out of you is what they expect. So breaking that first initial barrier. And it's so hard now, you know, like because the last two places I've gone into, this no handshake thing with COVID, it stresses me because that's the bit how I tell how people are like. When you grab hold of somebody's hand, you shake the hand, they look you in the eye, it just gives you that feeling of like we're connected.
Yeah.
You know, we're connected now. We've done it. You know,
so Avatar doing, thing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, just plug and play, babe. Pump and play. So, you know, pumping fists or touching elbows, it just feels so fucking foreign to me, you know, and it's just, I know that's what we've got to do in the current thing, but if we're breathing the same air for an hour, you're fucking getting this COVID off me, man, if I've got it or not. Yeah. That's the thing. We might as well make out. Yeah, just let's give them this pole and dance. Dance, baby, dance.
Yeah, and we've spoke about this before. Like when you do something for long enough, it becomes a bit of your identity.
It does, absolutely. You know, and you treat that as an identity of who you are.
Yeah, now you're facing this thing now, and that's not a part of who you are now.
Yeah. So now for me, it's obviously, you know, I'm willing to look further afield at different opportunities.
Yeah,
I'm not scared to have a look. You know, I've got time up my sleeve, you know, not endless time, but I've got time up my sleeve to actually have a good look. And to, you know, and I don't want to sell myself. I don't want to oversell myself. What I want people to do is I want them to see who I am, and that's what I'm selling. I'm just selling me. Yep. You're not going to get any more than what I've got to offer. What you get is what I have to offer. So I'm not going to oversell myself and go, hey, man, you are buying a motherfucking Ferrari in red with 25 gears ready to go. I'm not selling you that because I haven't fucking got that.
I've told many a ex-girlfriend and my wife, this is all I've got.
I said, yes, ain't nothing else, baby.
I can't give you any more.
You're getting the V-dub maybe in fucking lime green. That's what you're getting.
This is as far as it goes.
Sorry, Jess, you've got the lime green model. The one, the car park that goes, who the fuck bought lime green?
Meep, meep.
Meep, meep. So that was probably the most difficult challenge to start with, is actually doing the right. Now I've actually got to do something.
Yep.
So shout out to one of my friends, Shani. She did my resume for me, did a fucking cracking job. Resume came up absolutely beautiful. So let me get the details correctly, because I would like to give her a fucking yo-yo, because she did such a great job with my resume. Where are we? So
we just turned into a commercial radio station.
We have, yeah. I'm just going to give her a bit of a promo, because she did do such a fantastic job.
I seen her at work the other week wearing a course together, and she like got really upset talking about you, which is what most women do.
Yeah, most fucking, you know, just they all get fucking teary and says, "Oh fuck that asshole." Right, so.
Don't fuck this up.
No,
I've held everyone up for a minute.
Sorry about that. So, if you guys are interested in getting your resume updated, and if you're thinking about doing a change, I definitely recommend it. Shani is Endless Ambition. So, if you look up Endless Ambition, that'll come up, and she's on Instagram. So, she and her resumes are fantastic. So, I've used her to update mine, and I had not updated mine for probably 10 years plus. And mine was a good old one done in Word, looked absolutely as boring as batshit, had about the personality of a fucking stick. So if I'd
say, much like yourself.
That's it, yeah. Much like the colour.
Yeah, so it was perfect to you.
It was perfect to me, yeah. Matched me fucking entirely. So yeah, so I gave it to Shani, and she did a fucking fantastic job. So I would like to suggest to any of my friends out there, sort of like,
I'm gonna have to do that.
Yeah,
soon.
It is really worth keeping your resume up to date, because if something comes up that all of a sudden really sparks your interest and you don't want to do it because you say, oh, I've got too much to get it done. Look, getting it done and having it up to date, you don't realize the skill sets you have available until you actually get your resume done up. And so, and you know, and Shani will ask you all the appropriate questions. Hers, when she did mine, it's fucking great and I fucking loved it. So thanks, Sweetie. That was just, it's brilliant. It's actually got me a kickstart because she did such a nice job. So I really appreciate it. So, yeah, so guys, yeah, reach out to Shani if you want your resume done. Can't stress enough. If you want to make a change, it happens quickly. The last thing you want to do is scramble through a resume that you've got that you've done 10 years ago, which is out of date, not representative of you at all, who you currently are, your current roles and stuff. You know, you don't want to get caught behind the eight ball.
I love that I get sick of my job every year and mine's up to date. Every year I go through it. Send it off 4 or 5 times a year.
Yeah, like, and look, it's a good way to go. But most people sort of, like I say, if you're comfortable, and there's a lot of guys at our work that would be 10, 15, or 20-year guys who would not have done their resumes at all.
Yeah, the last one would have been mailed in.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And as I say now.
How exciting for you now being able to look for jobs on the internet.
Holy shit, yeah. Do you know what? Not knocking on somebody's door and sort of saying, right? Hey, hi.
In the paper.
Oh, yeah, fuck.
Looking in the paper for jobs.
Yeah. Look, and it's quite strange. Look, I mean, because when I first started thinking about leaving.
Because he's 100.
Yeah, because I'm 100. When you're 100, it's fucking so bad. looking on Seek and seeing.
Does this place have wheelchair access?
Yeah, this is, yes. Yeah. Will my Akron sticker actually work here? So, look, I got super excited looking on Seek going, fuck, there's some work. And I limited my first initial search to sort of like more leadership roles, because I believe that's where my strength lies. Whatever you other fuckers think, I don't care. Piss off. Piss off. I think that's where some of my strengths lie.
Most leaders do.
Oh, yeah, that's right. God damn. Is this that moment where, you know, you...
I don't want to be the one that's...
Please don't pull the fucking cork out of the boat anymore. The back of the boat is fucking sinking. Thank you. Put the bung back in. Put it in. So yeah, it was, the initial thing was, it was a bit of a challenge to actually accept that once I was going, I wasn't going to something straight away. So, because I mean, it wasn't.
Fuck, that sounds exciting to me.
Yeah, it was once I actually clicked the gears and went, yes.
Did you keep your swipe card?
Nah.
Well, no.
I handed in.
Bullshit.
Yep. Handed in. Put all my clothes in the bin. And that was it. I got so excited.
I'm hanging for that day.
Oh, man. It was the best feeling to let it go. Look, I mean, I'd say the one of the things is look, obviously, because Bob still works there. And that was, you know, one of the things for me is like, I love just knowing that he was there, that he had a job and he was getting looked after.
Such a shit place for your kids to be at.
It is, but for the interim, it suits and it's going to work for him, and it's sort of fine. For me, when I left and did my final Instagram video in the car park,
did you have a cry in the car?
No,
you looked upset.
No, I just I was so angry going into work because like I put my resignation in like 3 weeks earlier and they hadn't accepted it. That was the problem.
Yeah.
So I fucking didn't sleep very well that night because I was fucking angry and I didn't want to go in there and sort of say, I've driven up here to fucking do this.
Yeah.
And I fucking did it 3 weeks ago. And all they did was get me in there and say, we just wanted to see if you actually wanted to resign. I said, yes, that's why I fucking resigned. That's why I gave you the letter.
Yeah.
So I was actually quite pissed that I actually had resigned like the previous month. They hadn't accepted it.
Mate, you've been saying you're going to resign forever. They just didn't believe
you. Yeah, true. Yeah, it was probably what it was.
Probably a crime.
You're just going to resign. You're just going to resign.
Yeah.
So when I did it, it was just like, you know, because I woke up at 2:30 in the morning. And then,
which is normal
for me, but then just like, you know, normally I could sort of like, I could drift back to sleep or at least stay in bed, but I was awake and I was stewing on it going, I'd drive up there.
Having just all those conversations in your head that didn't even happen.
No. And it was more sort of about like, I didn't want to lower myself and get angry in there and sort of say, cause I initially sort of said, look, you know, I just want this and this person in the room when I'm doing it, I don't need to have all these other fucking hillbillies in here and fucking hangers-oners and people that want to hold my fucking hand. I just want to get this shit done, you know, because I'm fucking angry about it now. So, and then I had all those conversations in my head and then go, no, you don't have to get angry. You know, you just got to sign the stuff off. And so, like, yeah, but why do I have to drive up here to do that? You know, like, I've done this weeks ago. They could have emailed me the stuff out.
Fax it. You still got a fax machine, I imagine.
Yep. All the fucking sounds that you don't hear anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you ring one of those odd numbers and go, what the fuck is that sound?
Yeah, yeah.
God damn.
Yeah.
So yeah, but when I actually finished and I did the old, I don't have to wear Zesty Lemon again.
Yeah.
And I took the shirt off and I put it down and went, oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
This is it. And I thought, right, now let's get your thoughts together because there's a lot of people that, you know, I'm not going to get to see inside the gate to sort of say, look, thanks very much for all the time. So I just sat there for about 2 minutes and went, right, let's just do it now. This is going to be about as honest as you can be without sort of like, you know.
Yeah,
you know,
forcing it.
I thought, let's just do it, you know. And sort of like that was basically as much as I could think of right there and then, you know. And literally.
I feel bad that I was the first to comment because mine was just pure smart ass.
Yeah.
Everyone else that commented after was like, we fucking love you, man. We're going to miss you. It's just, it's just like smart ass. Yeah, comment. Yeah.
At least it's going to be quiet now. Oh, man. But that's exactly what it felt like, though. I was so happy. Everyone up there. I just love my time working with the people I worked with. That was the most important thing for me. Like, it's just without that place, I wouldn't have met you.
Yeah.
So I'm always, look at this shit, baby. We are in the pursuit of happiness. That's what we're doing. So
it's funny, isn't it? Think of all those really shitty times that you just keep doing and keep doing. And you just, I don't know, man, you miss the little gold nugget sometime.
Yeah. Yep, you do.
It's important to just keep panning, right? And keep sieving through the shit and trying to find the good little bits. And then when you find it, put it somewhere safe.
Yeah, that's it. Lock it away and then remember that bit and you've got that then. You never lose it. So, for me now, opportunities are starting to happen. And
you should get a tattoo.
Oh, yeah. God damn.
Do it.
Do it. Well, I can tell you what it won't be. It won't be a teardrop on my fucking face.
Why not?
No, I've got no teeth.
There's a kid out there right now. We'll do it.
He's got no teeth.
Can you imagine how mad your wife would be? Come home with a face tattoo.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck?
Just do it, man. Do more shit you like.
I don't know if that's more shit that I fucking like, though.
Well, you don't know, but it feels real good. Sick, man. So fun.
Injecting ink into your skin doesn't seem like that's...
You can laser it off now. There's technology.
Yeah, it'll work. Yeah, so I don't think I will. I'll probably die as a clean skin. I'm not sure.
Nah, bullshit. I'm not going to let that happen.
Yeah, I might get something before the end.
Do it.
I think, what did I hear the other day? I was listening to somebody speak and they sort of said, get something, keep it for 6 months, and if you still want that, then go get it done.
No, fuck that.
Just go with it straight away.
Just drink a liter of Jack's and tattoo your fucking self when you feel like
it. Mr. Jack or Mr. Beam generally can... They can see in the future.
Yeah, man, that was I went through like a pretty bad period. Not bad, like not destructive bad, but shift work and like it was like almost every block off would be like a liter of Jack's, sit on the floor in the lounge room, put YouTube on, whatever, listen to music, drink the whole fucking bottle.
Smash it. Oh, Jesus.
Every block off for probably 6 months. Yeah.
Nice.
Nah, really.
You really
bad.
Killed your liver, yeah.
We did, yeah. We smashed it.
Good work, Jess.
She was drinking most of it. Yeah. Because really,
she's got the size to be to take a lot of it as well.
She's a mean drunk. Yeah.
What was the first tattoo that you got?
My first tattoo is on my left arm. Yep. Up here when my dad died.
Yeah,
I was
nice.
Like 16. I had a cross. I'm not religious. I don't know why.
No. It means something to you and that's all counts.
Yeah, I remember it. Like, I'll never ever forget it. It was like this fucking crazy tattoo place in Adelaide. My half-sister lives over there, same dad. Yeah, it was fucking weird. Like, he didn't once ask me my age. Looked nothing like that. Like, just went in there and fucking got it done. And yeah, it was wild. It's good times.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So I think for most people have an inspiring moment of some description, something that kicks that gear, and that's when they seem to get it done. It works.
You haven't had like, that yet?
Nah.
Like, I don't know, nothing drastic like having a child or...
Nah. I've had some big
nothing
events.
Nothing that exciting.
I've had some big events, but nothing that's really gone, that's what I need and that's what I really want.
Yeah, you should just get something cool. Like a unicorn or something.
Like a Kermit the Frog sitting on a toadstool or something. Who does?
You can do that, right?
Do that now. Like, I don't think there's anything currently at the moment that I have in my head that goes, that would be what I really want.
Yeah. Just, you should definitely get something.
There's nothing, yeah. So if something does pop up, I won't let you do it.
That's fair enough.
After a bottle of Jacks. Yeah, after a bottle of Jacks.
That was the other thing that used to happen. But, went through like a really big period of like tattooing myself, my mates. And it was always like a two-shot buy-in. It was two shots for me just to fucking calm
the nerves,
make sure that they were smooth and yeah.
Have you ever, because obviously you can draw the shit out of it and you obviously can tattoo, you know, like have you looked at some of your mates' work afterwards and gone, that's fucking good? I could actually do this?
Maybe.
Because I've only ever watched it on TV. Like, I've never seen tattoos being done live. Like, yeah. I've seen a fuckload of those, like, New York Ink and fucking LA Ink and all that sort of stuff. I'm watching
just masters.
Oh,
yeah.
Fuck, man. Some of the people.
I think I got pretty good by the end of it. It took me two legs.
Mm.
But I think I probably just started too early.
Yep.
Like, if I started now, I think I'd be really good.
Yeah, good. Well, your drawing's exceptional now.
Yeah,
it's really,
yeah. And
really
it's just it's just a time thing, I think.
Because that's like what it seems like is it's the super attention to detail where it brings it to life when you look at it. Oh wow, man, that is
impressive. Well, that's where I just find meditation is in those extreme amounts of detail. I even find myself like shortcutting a drawing and then just erasing it and be like, don't skip the process just for the outcome. It's that like I draw like an A2 poster, which is however big, this big, at like 5 pixels, like pencil size. And it doesn't really translate digitally because you can fucking whatever, you can scale infinitely. But yeah, just lines after lines after lines. I think one of those drawings there was like 45,000 strokes.
Oh, wow, Jesus.
Yeah.
And you have to keep moving that down to be to continue those
just
strokes up.
Just fucking zooming in and out, just getting full stroke. Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Do you Do you miss drawing with pencil?
No. A part of me does because it's romantic. Like it's something it's about hard. It.
It's like reading a book that's, you know, reading a book that's actually pulling the pages apart rather than doing it.
Yeah, there's a part of that, but it's so stupid. It's so inefficient.
It's something you don't like. Yeah. It's rubbing it and smearing it. It's not the same.
It just doesn't make sense to me. And I get why people do it. I get why people paint and there's a certain feel to it and there's a certain smell and, you know, it's a real experience and I get that part of it. Mm. And I fucking had a ball painting this because it was just different. But for commercial sense, digital just makes sense.
Makes more sense. Well, I say something like this. I mean, when you look at street art and you look at some people, go, oh, wow, man, that's done with a fucking spray can.
Fucking unreal.
Like, whoa, with a fucking spray can. And some guys, they just top the switch it with a brush and so it's just like, wow, that is a fucking extreme talent. It is just amazing. You walk past some stuff and look at it and go,
how the fuck? Yeah, like portraits with aerosol, unreal. Yeah.
I watched a guy do that. I think we might have been in Singapore and just on the side of the street and he was just spraying stuff and you're watching this come apart and just, you know, you're just spraying the sky image and then just doing some other stuff and going, oh, what's this? Oh, it looks okay. And by the time he's finished it, you're just gone, get fucked.
Yeah.
He's done that with like about 9 spray cans. And that looks like it's done with a fucking brush. It's just beautiful. And he did it like in about 15 minutes, just whipping it through, just doing these quick lines across stuff. And it just was like the most amazing thing. And it was a dark blue sky, had stars, a couple of shooting stars with streaks like, you know, like comets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of a curvature of the earth, with the moon right at ground level, and then a few trees and bits and pieces. And I just looked and went, oh, wow. With this fucking spray can.
Yeah, people are fucking unreal.
There's some amazing talent out there, but once again, you've got to have vision. I mean, other than my talent, which is listening to music, motherfucker. Remember how good my talent is?
Yeah, no, it's a real talent, mate. Really, really.
I can't remember what episode that was, but I did have a musician tell me.
It was about a year ago, wasn't it?
It would have been, yeah.
Because you just got back from that thing, and that was on Facebook the other day.
Yeah, so it would have been, October last year, so. So for those who don't know, there was an episode we did probably about a year ago, which is...
Rick's main talent, some musician lady trying to make him feel good, said that listening to music is a talent, and Rick's held on to
it. Yeah, it is. Fucking is.
He was so proud.
I'm so proud.
Come
I've
here
got a fucking,
and say, I've
got a
talent.
I've got a
talent.
Yeah, talent. Listen to music. Listen to good music. I know. Dear God, we're allowed to have that. Let's finish it there.
Let's not... Keep going about your great talents.
No, that's right.
guys, thanks for following along as usual. Please find us on all the socials, LFTO Podcast. We are everywhere. And we'll see you next time.
And now YouTube Live.
On YouTube.
Thanks, guys.
See you, guys.
See you, guys. Bye.
See you.